You are listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Ray talks about the friend that Jesus was to sinners and how we should have that same attitude.
And I'm going to ask you to take your Bible or your Bible app and open it to Mark chapter 2. We are in a journey through the Gospel of Mark. We are learning from Mark. We are learning who Jesus is by looking at what Jesus did. And so far we're seeing that Jesus is God. He is the Son of God, but he is himself God. And he has the power, the authority to heal the sick, to deliver the demonized, and to forgive sins. And so today we're going to look at Mark chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. And I just want to forewarn you, if you haven't been made comfortable by that prayer I just prayed for our president, now get ready to be made uncomfortable by Jesus. This is going to be a passage, I think, that really challenges some of your preconceived notions about Jesus and the church and what that should be like. And so today we're going to do something a little bit differently. Instead of me reading it to you, I want you to turn your eyes to these side screens, and we are going to watch the Word of God being read for us. Here are the first two verses of this section.
Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him. Levi got up and followed him.
Now, I know that some of you are already uncomfortable because you thought Jesus was blonde-haired and blue-eyed. He wasn't. He was Middle Eastern. Well, who is this Levi? Who is this Levi? Well, he is a despised IRS agent. He's a tax man, a tax collector. The King James Version calls them publicans. Not Republicans, but publicans. And worse than a tax cheat, he is a tax-cheating tax collector. Now, you have to understand that in the first century world, that Rome was the empire that dominated the known world at that time. And wherever they subjugated people, they required those people, whether it was a nation or a tribe or a territory, they required the citizens, the people of that territory, to pay a heavy tax back to Rome. And so in Palestine or in Israel, the people there, the Jews, had to pay a tax to the Romans. So they required a tax. But whatever a tax collector like Levi, whatever a tax collector could extract beyond what was owed was his to keep. And so they were quite motivated people. In fact, they got very, very wealthy collecting taxes from people above and beyond what Rome had said was appropriate. So they were notorious for exploiting people. They charged more money than what was owed, as I've already said. They loaned money to people that couldn't pay at exorbitant interest rates. They were loan sharks, and they got filthy rich off of the backs of their fellow citizens. And so these guys, these tax collectors in the Bible, were Jews taking money from Jews to pay the Romans so the Romans could oppress the Jews. And therefore, they were not very popular, not at all. These tax collectors, including this man Levi that was called to follow Jesus, were despised as traitors. They were despised. And yet, Jesus called him. And Levi followed. Now think about that. Think about the worst person, the most despicable person, the most despised person that you can imagine. Just think of a person like that, that you would not believe that they could be a Christian or a follower or a leader in God's army. That's who Jesus called. Most despised of people, and Jesus said, "Levi, follow me." And Levi went. Now think about that. He left his lucrative business. He gave it up forever to follow Jesus. He went from cooking the books to writing a book. He wrote the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew is the Greek name for Levi. Levi is the Jewish name, and Matthew is the Hellenized version of that name. Now, given his shady reputation, his unseemly business practices, why did Jesus call him? And why did Levi give it up to follow Jesus? Well, here's why. And this is key to the story. This is key to the story we're about to hear. This is key to the Gospel of Mark. This is the key to understanding the whole story of the Gospel. You see, unlike the self-righteous Pharisees, Levi knows that he's a dirty, rotten sinner. Unlike the Pharisees, Levi knows he's a hopeless sinner. And that's why he immediately left his ill-gotten lifestyle for a fresh start with Jesus. Levi knew that something was wrong internally. He knew that life was out of sync. He knew that he was not right with God. And so when he had a chance to follow and start a new life, he left it all. He left his position of power, as hated as he was, this position that afforded him great wealth for a fresh start with Jesus. Now, here's another key to the story. Jesus prefers hanging out with people who know they are hopeless sinners. Jesus prefers hanging out with people who know that they are dirty, rotten sinners. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Now, we're going to see that played out in the next three verses, verses 15 through 17. So again, I want you to watch the side screens
as
you hear the story told.
While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners."
I have come to call the sinners, not the righteous. I love that about Jesus, don't you? Jesus didn't come to impress the religious elites, the scribes, the teachers of the law that we read about there. In the Greek, the word for the scribes is grammateus. They were grammarians. They followed the letter of the law, and they wanted everybody else to as well. Jesus didn't come to make friends with them. He didn't come to hang out with spiritual celebrities. He didn't buy airtime on Jerusalem Broadcasting Network, JBN. He didn't write an autobiography that he could sell the book at these large gatherings in stadiums where he was going to preach. He didn't get a billion Twitter followers. He didn't start a GoFundMe for a jet so that he wouldn't have to fly coach like the rest of us do. He didn't do any of that. He hung out with spiritual losers. Jesus hung out with spiritual losers, hopeless sinners. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. And why did he do that? What was his motivation? Verse 17 tells us, the healthy don't need a doctor, the sick do. Why did Jesus do it? Because the healthy didn't need a doctor, the sick did. And that was his mission. Luke 19, verse 10 says that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And that was his mission. And we need to keep in mind that was, since that was the mission of Jesus, that needs to be our mission as well. Jesus was a friend of sinners. Lost people mattered to Jesus, and therefore lost people ought to matter to us as well. And it would have been an abject failure of his mission to do otherwise. I mean, people were lost. They needed a rescuer. People were demonized. They needed a deliverer. People were diseased. They needed a healer. They needed a doctor. People were oppressed. They needed a Messiah, a Christ. People were hopeless. They needed a champion. And what a champion they got in Jesus Christ. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. What a friend for sinners. Jesus loved hanging out with people who knew that they knew that they were dirty, rotten, hopeless sinners. Now understand, please understand me, that in befriending sinners, Jesus never endorsed their sin. The fact that he liked to be with sinners doesn't mean that he ever endorsed their sin. He didn't. There's this belief going around that Jesus wouldn't condemn sinners if he were walking the earth today. Well, that's right. Jesus wouldn't. In fact, he said he wouldn't. But he said, look, I don't need to do that. I don't need to condemn sinners because you're already condemned. If you're a sinner, you're already under condemnation and you know it. But he also said, look, I want to introduce you to a new way, a better life, free from the condemnation and shame and guilt that you live under. So go, therefore, and leave your life of sin. So Jesus never condoned sin. Make no mistake about it. He came to rescue people from sin. If we do away with sin, we do away with the need for a Savior. And Jesus is our Savior. That's why I love this story so much. Jesus came to rescue sinners from their sin. He loved hanging out with sinful people so that he might lead them in a different way. But that's why I don't love this story so much. It makes me uncomfortable. He preferred hanging out with people who were hopeless sinners. He preferred the lost to the saved. Which begs the question, doesn't it? If Jesus were here today, if Jesus came today, if Jesus came to Portland today, here's the question. Would he be more comfortable at Portland Christian Center or hanging out down under the Burnside Bridge? Where would he be? Would he want to chill with my friends? Would he want to come to my house this afternoon and have a barbecue with the people that I hang out with? Would this contemporary portrayal of Jesus that you're going to see on the screen here with beer-swilling gangbangers be one, be the new Last Supper photo op? Hey, guys, this side of the table, let's get a picture here. Would this be what it looked like if Jesus were to come today? You know, when I first saw this photograph some years ago, it offended me. It made me really uncomfortable. And the fact that I, and if you feel the same way, find this offensive, it suggests that we would be more at home with the Pharisees than with Jesus. If you don't like this, it would say that you would be right at home among the Pharisees. There's an author that I absolutely love who makes me totally uncomfortable whenever I read him. His name's Philip Yancey. And Philip Yancey writes this. He said, when Jesus came to earth, demons recognized him. The sick flocked to him. Sinners doused his feet and head with perfumes. Meanwhile, he offended pious Jews with their strict preconceptions of what God should be like. I wonder, if Jesus were here today, would I be one of those now perpetuating an idea of Jesus that happens to fit my pious expectations but doesn't match the reality of the Jesus of the Gospels? Am I perpetuating a false picture of who the real Jesus, the Jesus of the Gospels, is? Would you and I be questioning the lunch or the dinner invitations that Jesus was accepting? Would you and I be saying, hey, Jesus, what are you doing hanging out with people like that? I think so. I think so. The New Living Translation refers to these guests, both in Mark 2 and then the story that Levi himself wrote in Matthew chapter 9, refers to these guests as other disreputable sinners. Tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. In fact, he refers to them as scum as well. Now, if I were to be honest with you, and I'm going to be, there aren't any other disreputable sinners hanging out at my house these days, other than Linda and me. You know, we don't have friends like that. We're not hanging out with people like that. But something tells me, this is a moment of confession for me, as your pastor, as I think about this gospel and these verses, the story, something tells me that I really ought to change. I've really got to change if Jesus is going to fit into my world. Or more importantly, if I'm going to fit in Jesus' world, something's got to change. The mission, he came to seek and to save the lost. He came for the sick, not the healthy. In this Matthew account, Jesus said this. He said, learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Now let's just unpack that a little bit. He says, I desire mercy. In other words, I desire for the loving kindness of God towards sinners to flow through you towards sinners. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. What does sacrifice represent? Well, it represented their religious observances, the things that they did in church to have church. Now, Jesus isn't saying you ought to do away with all of that. He says, on top of that, before everything else, the highest priority that I have for you is that my mercy, my loving kindness would flow through you toward hopeless sinners, other disreputable sinners. And he goes on to say, I didn't come to call those who think they are righteous, but those who know they're sinners. I came to call those who know they're sinners. So if you don't have any other disreputable sinners in your life, here is the simple, singular assignment for you, for me today. Get some. If you don't have any in your life, if you've been saved so long that you have no more sinful friends, get some. Get some other disreputable sinners in your life, just like you. And if we're going to be a church that really follows Jesus, if we're going to be a church that Jesus is pleased with, that he would be comfortable in, then when other disreputable sinners walk in here with inappropriate tattoos, I'm going to get a tattoo this week. It's going to say mother. And I hear. You see someone walk in with a shaved head and they've got an inappropriate tattoo on the back of their head or on their face somewhere or on their arms. When you see someone wearing baseball caps during worship service, oh my God. If some same-sex couple comes in and sits in your seat, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Listen, they're the kinds of friends that Jesus would have.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.